ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, no.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The Hump Day. Here
he is. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Hi there.
Good morning,
Hal
Sparks.
Wow. What a great week to roll up back onto the air with you guys.
The Sexy Liberal documentary on Current got huge ratings.
Yeah.
Huge. Thank God we did that before Mitt Romney's campaign ended, and we have nothing more to talk about.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mittens. He went, we were saying, of course he runs to Neil Cavuto. Yeah. Neil, they're being mean to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you said was kind of crazy.
Talk to me in that Kermit voice.
I claim this interview in the name of Mars.
Talk to me in the Kermit voice and calm me.
I love that they're total doing this full frontal assault on the 47% comment that he made. He's got to come back from this. He did that hastily gathered together news conference at 10 o'clock at night with his, by the way, who keeps waking him up in the middle of the night and making him respond to things? Because clearly not a good... I mean, forget the 3 a.m. call.
Let's review. He's insulted now, England, Poland. Palestinians.
Israel and Palestine
at the same time.
Russia, China, and now half of America. Yep. As I was saying, David, from my favorite tweets, if you're not running for president of all of the country, you won't be elected president any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, the guy who pays no taxes on millions of dollars, thinks you're a welfare freeloader. God bless 47% of America. Romney can fit 47% of his foot in his mouth. Marie Antoinette was beheaded for less. Mitt Romney's campaign is so dead, the Mormons just baptized it.
That was my favorite.
Here's the thing, though. I've seen the whole video.
Right.
I've seen all of it. And, and by the way, I'd seen this clip in, I think it was July, when it first showed up on YouTube.
Right.
And it was, Rachel Maddow didn't want to show it because it was unverified. At that point, they couldn't tell if somebody had really done a good job of stitching it together. They didn't have the real video. It was affected and blah, blah, blah. Well,
even Romney couldn't have said something that dumb,
No.
Rachel Maddow's like, I'm a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, nobody could be this dumb.
And the 47% comment is the least of your worries.
Yeah.
From an electoral standpoint, from a personal standpoint, if you were going to vote for Mitt Romney, you were probably going to sail past that mark anyways, because you kind of believe that the world is takers and makers. That's why the Paul Ryan ad, the Ayn Rand ad, was a good one for you, because you believe that there are moochers in the world, like the Fountainhead says. But in this case, I don't think the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is something we can solve, so why bother? So kick it down the road.
Kick the can down the road.
Yeah, but that's not even...
What a statesman.
Saying Iran should, if he was Iran, he'd develop a dirty bomb, put it in Chicago, and then anytime America got out of line.
Chicago.
Funny,
that.
Curious. That, yeah.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
And then my
Thanks,
favorite...
Mint. You know what? Forget president. Can we try him for treason yet? Seriously. Is he about to start World War III or is
he? He's responsible for us having to dial back the missile defense shield. Of all the things, of like McCain fighting for this extension of it, him saying that we've left, what was it? It wasn't Michelle Bachmann. It was, saying that he's left. Oh, Sarah Palin. I think he's left Czechoslovakia out to dry.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though they haven't existed.
No,
for,
they don't exist.
1992.
And you know what? Yeah. He's really thrown leprechauns and fairies under the bus as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Huh?
Okay.
What?
Chris writes. I'm just talking about other fictional things.
Exactly.
Oh. All right. Okay. Chris writes. Mitt Romney equals Max Bialystock.
Oh.
At this point, it's so bad.
I'm wearing a cardboard belt. Right. He's made the entire.
This literally.
We can make more money off a losing campaign.
Steph, has $500 million ever bought less? Eventually, rich people are going to wonder how much of my money does Mitt Romney need to campaign badly in 7 states.
Right.
The Romney campaign is actually a remake of the Mel Brooks classic. The producers, Mitt Romney, is Max Bialystock, and Paul Ryan is the nervous accountant Max talks into joining the con.
Yeah.
Yay.
He's jumping on me, and I just and it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the worst part, I think, is his thing claiming that it would be easier to get elected president if he were Latino. And he laughs about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that country club laugh.
And they all laugh about it.
If you look like the help.
And it's hard to tell if they're laughing because they agree with him in that they think that, you know, well, yeah, in this country, the way it's going, if you were a Latino, those people would vote for you more often. Or if they are laughing because, no, it wouldn't be easier. Because Latino in a country with states putting forward, like, SB 1070 and things like that, and papers, please, laws.
He's basically losing among almost every demographic, yeah. And now he's pissed off half his base as well. Now,
old people are part of
a big chunk of what he's talking about. The only people left that were going to vote for him are old white people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking yesterday, there was a woman... where was it, Chris? In the South somewhere. Southern Baptist in the South that thinks the president is a Muslim, but's going to vote for him because Mitt Romney's such a douche. She's like, oh, that guy. President's Muslim, but I'm not.
Although a lot of old people watch Fox News and they get your government hands off my Medicare crowd.
But this stuff, unfortunately, this stuff is leaking past that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when something is this thick. And the Ryan response was hilarious. Did you see him actually respond to the thing?
Yeah.
First of all, he'd said Ryan Romney plan out on the stump, which was hilarious, and couldn't not say it four times. He was like, the Ryan Romney, but say it's two R's. They were all the Doug, Ryan ticket. It should be me and Rubio. Didn't you hear, Fog?
Is there still a chance that might happen?
Hispanic.
Let me give you the fun facts. Because Chris, you sent me a piece. Even some conservative, they're like, what?
Conservative
think
tank
people. Are we rooting for people to pay more taxes? Like, he pissed everyone off with this. Because, first of all, it was just so inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And he blurred, this is a good summation, the Associated Press. When he said 47% of Americans pay no income taxes are dependent on the government, he blurred together half or more of the entire country, ranging from the nation's neediest to its middle class and even some of its richest families. I mean, so let's start with that. What he said really made no sense. I mean, while it's true most of these families are poor, the numbers also include many others who get tax breaks because they're old.
That's right.
They have children in college or didn't owe taxes on interest from state and local bonds. And those who didn't write checks to the IRS, 6 in 10 still paid Social Security and Medicare payroll taxes, and more than that paid federal excise taxes on items such as gasoline, alcohol, and cigarettes. A look at the four biggest programs show how varied their overlapping recipients can be. There are 50 million collecting Social Security. 46 million getting Medicare health coverage for the elderly, programs that pay everyone regardless of income. 80 million were living in households getting Medicaid. 48 families in need receiving food stamps. Combined, those numbers belie a political point that Romney was trying to make. Some 47%, he said, will vote for the president no matter what, but that's not so for the elderly who favored Romney.
Right.
Or they used to. Over the present 52% to 42%, and it wouldn't be true for millions of middle class or wealthy voters either. A significant fraction of government entitled benefits are neither poor nor necessarily supporters of the Democratic Party and pay significant income taxes.
Yeah.
So he didn't just insult President Obama's supporters. He insulted his own supporters.
Exactly.
I'll go you one better. We have been paying for a lot of things, including the Iraq War and a lot of other supplementals, by borrowing from the Social Security Tax Trust Fund. You know, the Social Security Trust Fund. So the money that you paid in payroll taxes that's not supposed to be used for income tax related things. It's just supposed to go to. So we've been borrowing against that instead of raising taxes since Reagan.
Yep.
And that was a Cold War decision. So
I think the theme in everything he says, whether it's lecturing England on what they're doing wrong with their
Olympics.
Yeah, or half of the country about how we're, you know, dependent on government. And what did he call it? Victims, and we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he say? I can't help you care for your life and be responsible. It's like you're such an entitled, holier than thou douche nozzle.
Well, he says at the beginning.
Seriously.
He says at the beginning of the tape that he wasn't born. He didn't inherit anything. And then later on.
That's bull.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, he had the hardscrabble life that every kid whose father was governor of the state and ran a car.
Every kid
born
with
a millionaire.
Cranbrook.
Here's the thing. You're right. You know what? You're right, Mitt. You didn't inherit anything. Your parents were alive when they helped make you rich.
Right.
He did inherit $1 million when his father died.
Oh,
and
that.
He shrugged it off. He said, well, I did inherit $1 million
by
from
then
him.
It was
nothing. But it was nothing because he'd been given a trust fund before. He didn't inherit that. That's not technically an inheritance. That was a gift. So, his parents didn't have to die for him to get it. Unlike, by the way, Paul Ryan's father, who died.
Right.
and he got his Social Security benefits, and that's how he went to school.
So he also insulted Paul Ryan.
Yes.
So,
right.
Okay. The president on Letterman last night.
One of the things I've learned as president is you represent the entire country. And when I meet Republicans as I'm traveling around the country, you know, they are hardworking family people who care deeply about this country. And my expectation is that if you want to be president, you got to work for everybody, mm-hmm. not just for some.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's hard to, how you were saying, I think the worst part was, it's hard to even pick a worst part. What, I mean, to me, that line where he says, it's not my job, I don't have to care, I don't care about those people.
Right.
You want to be, you don't care about half, it's not my job, it's not to worry about those people, half the country?
Well, I mean, he's adopting the Henry Kissinger useless eaters concept.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an overriding element of his campaign, that there are certain people here who, just by being born poor, don't pull their own weight.
Yeah.
And therefore do not deserve any help. And as a matter of fact, not helping them might magically lead them to being successful. Never mind somebody who has a special needs kid. Never mind somebody who has to care for an elderly parent because they don't have enough money to put them in hospice care or in some sort of aid, that they would need later in life. None of that. Put all that aside. He doesn't, in their mind, that doesn't exist. It's just a bunch of bootstrappers who would rather sit on their couch and play Xbox.
Speaking of Kissinger years, Jim, that late night press conference was compared to Richard Nixon's when he lost. You won't have Nixon to kick around.
You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore.
His hair was all...
Well, that's the thing. Did you notice, that's what I was going to say, was that Romney's hair was during that little...
All the gray hairs
that,
like...
Yep, they're like, bing.
Yeah,
I'm like, is Clint Eastwood hanging around now? Is
he's
he
like
just
the,
doing
he
your
like,
hair?
No, he was like the before picture in like Hair Club for Men. He was.
You're like, what you need is an empty chair next to you.
Yeah, go
talk to someone who's not there. That'll go over great.
Empty chair would have been better, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He looked like the before
President
ad in Hair Club
chair.
For Men. You're like, oh, my God, they even forgot the color. It's not perfect anymore. They've totally given up. His hair has given up on the race. Okay.
I was just napping, and they told me someone's begging at the gate. There's hordes, apparently, of people. And we've run out of boiling oil to pour over the wall, so I've got to say something until we can reload the fire arrows.
Did you hear the story that he had just gotten his first, like, security briefing that they do? And so he's probably all giddy, and I'm going to be president, and then somebody showed it, the tape to him on his iPad, and said the Romney camp knew immediately how bad this was.
Uh-oh. I wasn't aware there were devices of any kind.
By the way,
this isn't going to slow up the coronation, is it?
Point of order.
Yes.
Hair Club for Men is for men who are losing their hair.
Oh.
Just for Men is for men
just
who
for
color
men,
their
for
hair.
Color
hair.
All right, sure.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Important
distinction.
Very important.
It is.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join us on the Hump Chat at halsparks.com. Yeah.
Hey, a freak show!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Brenda in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Brenda.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Stephanie, I spent 17 years working for the USDA food stamp program. My job was to review low and income food stamp applications and state practices.
Right.
There are more white people on food stamps than any other group.
I explained that to Mary, Road Flare Mary, who called in yesterday from Chicago. Did you hear that?
Yes, but the federal regulations are the same for everybody, black, white, Latino, other. The food stamp program in large urban areas is where you see more black people with food stamps than other people.
Yes. Well, her point was all y'all black folks are hogging all the food stamps, so her son can't get enough.
No, and I received a lot of letters from people like her son when I was
Yes.
And they weren't very nice either.
No, I guess
curious
not.
That.
We, although we're helpers, we suggested that he start dating a black girl who obviously has a lot of food stamps. That
yeah.
You know.
Apparently they're just falling out of her purse
right?
all the time. But
Mary
probably...
says every black she knows in Chicago is driving a big Escalade and buying entirely too much food.
Oh. Welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Right.
Okay.
They're everywhere.
Wow. You know the other wisdom that, the Republicans always get the military vote?
Yes.
Maybe not so much.
Not so much. No.
Yet another group that Romney has. Anthony is part of the Do Nothing.
Anyways.
Yeah, Anthony's part of the Do Nothing 47%.
Sucking off the government teat.
Yeah. Mitt Romney was. Mitt Romney was supportive of the Vietnam War, yet he decided he'd go to France instead of staying and risk being drafted. Many other Americans went to Vietnam and died. Many more were injured. Mitt Romney came back to the U.S., became a millionaire a couple hundred times over.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the veterans of Vietnam weren't so lucky. They came back to the U.S. injured and permanently disabled, and now live off what Romney might call government handouts. And they pay no income tax. According to Mr. Romney, those veterans are going to vote for President Obama no matter what, and Mitt will never be able to teach them self-reliance.
Yeah.
We cannot allow this man to become president. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony.
According to Mitt Romney, that veteran you see in a wheelchair is a moocher.
Yeah. And worse, a government employee trained by other government employees, an expansion of big government in the form of a standing army that most Republicans are actually for. But never mind.
But
never mind. Government employees, the federal government, houses, trains, and feeds the military personnel that they love so much and supplies the aid you would think.
It's hard to pick a favorite headline today, Jim.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Associated Press, Republicans, bad gets worse for Romney. A bad stretch for Mitt Romney just got worse, and Republican insiders now are growing increasingly pessimistic about his chances of winning the White House. You think?
Oh.
The latest heartburn for these insiders is Romney's refusal to back down from his statement that nearly half of Americans believe they are victims dependent upon the government. That's the other thing, is he always has to act butch so that no one calls him a flip-flopper anymore. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how disastrous, you know, shooting your mouth off before you know an American diplomat has died, he will not apologize.
Mm-mm.
He will not back down. I mean, it's just... He told Fox News, I know some believe the government should take from some to give to the others. I think that's an entirely foreign concept.
Really?
So he also got the foreigner thing in there as well.
In there.
Yeah. One Republican strategist said, this is a worst-case scenario in some respects. Obama has been painting Romney as an out-of-touch elitist, and these remarks tend to reinforce pre-existing perception. Yeah, somebody said, I've never seen somebody more fully step into the caricature.
Right.
Because people, that's not really fair. He's not really like, he is
yeah,
like that.
Actually, no, that was dead on. Sorry, my bad.
The Republicans didn't lose faith this far in advance of the election during McCain's.
No, they were still acting
but
plucky.
The problem, yeah, they
no,
were.
But McCain was a war hero they could stick with. When they held their nose and voted for McCain, they in the back of their mind, they had this element that he served this country greatly. And that still stands true. As nutty as he gets sometimes, we all, even left, right, center, doesn't matter. You still go, thank you for your service towards the border.
Absolutely.
Romney never had any of that gravitas. And as a matter of fact, he...
And as I just pointed out, we've heard from a lot of veterans that
he not
take
only
kindly
split,
to someone that was for the Vietnam War
for, the record,
for you, but not for him.
For the
you know?
Record, he did not just up and run off to France the minute the Vietnam War started. He stuck around long enough to protest for it.
Yaha. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She used to be a strong, smart, beautiful woman. Why did she transform herself into that baby hooker?
I'm the Honey Boo Boo of radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Day.
I can't believe you uttered those words on this show.
That's not actually true in any, using any metric.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Uh-huh. It's Pundit Palooza this morning. Jeff Greenfield joins us in just a few minutes.
That's right.
Nice.
All right. David Axelrod tweets, there's no place like home. New Suffolk poll shows Mitt Romney trailing in Massachusetts by a whopping 33 points.
Wow.
Harsh verdict from those who know him best. Oh, mittens. Mitt's other home state, Michigan, not looking so good either.
Oh.
47.5% Obama, 42% mittens. There's also Mitt's vacation place in New Hampshire. Obama up only 2 points there.
Okay.
This piece says, there's always Utah or Kolob. I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
I don't think he's probably polling well there right now either.
Poor smittens. And then this just in. Romney campaign broke, borrowing, running a deficit. Start the debt clock.
Wow.
Breaking news. Washington Post saying Romney campaign is $11 million in debt, borrowed $20 million in August.
How can they be in debt? They have, like, all the money in the country.
Washington Post. Super PAC's different than his actual campaign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Super PACs might be raising tons and tons of money, but they're going to go down ballot. If this continues to go bad.
Hal, do you feel people may be losing faith in Mitten's ability to win? Could that be what's happening with donors?
I don't actually. I do not believe that these big donors and that the Mitt Romney supporters are losing faith in him. I think they're waking up to the fact that they never had support for him and are now shocked by the fact that they were right.
They now hate him as much as we do.
Yeah, okay. They now realize that holding their nose was not an opportunity to choose
a
client.
No. Jake Carney, the president's press secretary.
He is out there fighting for every American, regardless of whether or not they support him politically or support the Democratic Party.
By the way, Mitt Romney said it was inelegant, which is also a word normal people don't use, but here he is.
It's not elegantly stated, let me put it that way. I'm speaking off the cuff in response to a question, and I'm sure I could state it more clearly and in a more effective way.
David Korn made a really great point in that when you use the term off the cuff, what you mean was unscripted, this is really what's going on in my head.
That's what I really think. Yeah. No one wrote this. Yeah. For me.
He would have been smart to say, you know what, those were prepared remarks, and that person has since
been
sacked.
That person's fired.
And I had to, later on at the party, you don't see this part, but I had to clarify some of those remarks. I mean, he could have BS'd his way out of this 100 ways to Sunday, but the truth is, he's dumb enough to think he said something right.
Yeah.
He really is.
Are you with me here? And they are. The crowd is with me. Yes.
The worst part of this whole thing is that in context, top to tails, it is as dumb and as word salad-y as anything that Sarah Palin said during the entire McCain campaign. Yeah. It is equal to that in its weakness and grasping of foreign policy issues, of domestic economics.
Sarah Palin made more sense. Now you're taking the gloves.
And she was second tier. The idea was that she was supposed to just be there for energy, per se, both as an energy...
Young energy.
Yeah. She's bringing energy, and she's from an energy state. And
that's
what she was there for.
She was zippy and plucky.
She was talking out of her posterior.
Steve in Virginia. Yeah. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Mitt Romney's plan for bringing more people to vote for him, and all the Republicans really, is to lower the rates. We all hear that regularly. But he wants to broaden the base, which means he wants more people to pay taxes so they can be good Republicans and productive people.
Yeah. But, that's ticked off even conservative economists. They're like, what? Since when is a Republican? You want people to pay more taxes? And here are the fun facts about what Romney won't tell you about the 47%. Who are the 47% of Americans who currently have no federal income tax liability? They're either, first of all, too poor to qualify for even the lowest tax bracket, but still pay, as we said, federal payroll tax, state or local taxes, gas taxes, excise taxes. Or they benefit from tax credits for the working poor, the elderly, or students. Only 7% of the country is non-elderly and pays no taxes.
That's right.
And most of them make less than $20,000 a year.
Yeah, one of the reasons why you get, by the way, your state taxes are a deduction in your federal taxes and kind of zeroes them out is because we've pushed so much stuff in the states' rights movement to make sure that states can fund their own kind of, I want to teach creationism from the top of a clock tower in the town square.
Those Americans who paid payroll taxes but had no income tax liability still pay about 15% of their income, higher than 13% that we know Romney paid at least one year, and probably no taxes in the other years, but we'll never know because we can't see that. let's see. Those who don't have any federal income tax liability fall. This is a fun fact. People in that category disproportionately live in Republican states.
Nicely done,
Mittens. Nicely done. There could be some really red states turning blue for the first time. This could be just a whole new day. Let's go to Diane in North Carolina. Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Swing state.
Hello.
Yes. Listen, I'm thinking the implosion we're watching with, because once that clown car emptied out of everybody, we had Michelle Bachmann and her corn dog.
Yes. Oops, what happened to you? Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
Well, who's being vetted now?
Yeah.
Mitt on the national stage. Mm-hmm. It's his turn under the spotlight. So we're finally seeing who he is.
Yeah, and how's that going for him so far?
Out of that.
Oh, all right. She's cutting in and out.
Yes.
That was a bad phone.
It was.
That was a 47%
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Thank you. Got
it
to
works
that
47% at the time.
Hey, hey, but you know, okay. Oh, poor Mittens, really.
Off my mouth again. I just can't wait to shoot off my mouth again. The gaps I've made are making enemies from friends. And I can't wait to shoot off my mouth again.
Here we go.
On the road again. With the dog stretched on the top car down the highway. Will it never end? Insisting that the world be seen just my way. Or the highway. Off my mouth again. I just can't wait to shoot off my mouth again. The gaps I've made are making enemies from friends. And I can't wait to shoot off my mouth again.
Woo, doggy. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Jim in Jersey. Hi, Jim. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I was just wondering, I don't know who's worse, Romney or O'Reilly. Romney's saying when he takes tax deductions, he's really smart. But when you take it, you're a bum.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus O'Reilly calling critics of the Gulf War traitors and then acting like a porch on the puppy when Romney attacks the commander-in-chief in the middle of a raid attack on Americans.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Mittens trying to, you know, make it better in that only way only Mittens can.
I recognize that among those that pay no tax, approximately 47% of Americans, I'm not likely to be highly successful with the message of lowering taxes. And likewise, those who are reliant on government are not as attracted to my message of slimming down the size of government.
You hear that, old people? That's right.
Attention, old people.
Yeah.
Remaining old
you
white people that are going to vote for me.
You entitled person who thinks that health care and food are guaranteed you just because you paid into Social Security your entire life,
yeah.
And now you are actually
now
receiving
you're somehow
the benefit.
Have the idea that you're entitled to the money that you paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheesh. We need to enact something called voucher care so these old people will get back in the job market.
Jim in Illinois. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, Jim. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
As you stated, I'm from Illinois. I live, in fact, about 300 yards from Ronald Reagan's alma mater.
Oh.
Yeah. And so what I want to share is it's coarse, it's slanted, it's tainted because of the demographic of the people I speak with. Just want to share it. As this election grows closer and closer, I am really concerned about the race card.
Yeah, well,
I have spoken to people, pardon me, just wanting to engage them in political conversation. And none of them trust Romney. But all but said they would do anything to get that
N-word. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I know. I knew where you were going. Yeah. It's where Mary in Chicago, you know, I was reading an analysis of how that the electorate has gotten so, I mean, just divided. I mean, there are people that will just not vote for the president no matter what, whether it's just sheer racism or who knows what. I mean, just Obama derangement.
Well, I think it's simply because he's not a Republican.
Well,
Newt Gingrich in the 90s tainted the whole political process so badly that it still hasn't recovered.
Right. Well, and also, again, the people who self-identify as Republicans are a much smaller group than they were even when Newt Gingrich was in office. And at a good swath of people who now call themselves undecideds or independents actually voted for Bush twice, voted for Dole, voted, were anti-Clinton voters, the whole deal, but are so embarrassed by the Bush legacy that they now call themselves independents or libertarians.
Yeah.
That they've run so far either to the right or the center to avoid the Bush legacy that they are, you know, when you ask them, when you ask a Republican, anybody who still identifies as a Republican wholeheartedly, they probably are this narrow, you know, they've been centrifuged. These are the remnants of the Republican Party, all the racist, far-right, super war hawk, neocon nutcases.
All right. Author, this is a very sad book for our little network here. Jeff Greenfield, author of 43, about what would have happened if Al Gore had become president.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Well, I know. I'll fill in the blank here. He did. He did. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with Jeff Greenfield on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. Oh, what a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, what a day to be talking to a political analyst, Jeff Greenfield, who I've been a fan of for many, many years. Great new book out called 43, When Gore Beat Bush, A Political Fable.
Yeah.
Aww. It's a sad story. Good morning, Jeff Greenfield.
Good morning, Stephanie.
It's so nice to talk to you. I've been a fan for a long time.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been around a long time.
Yeah, haven't we all? Well, I mean, I have to get your take on the what appears to be the implosion of the Mitt Romney campaign. Have you seen anything quite like this in your years in politics?
Yeah, two things. For many campaigns, there's a period when everything seems to go bad, and when the press, particularly, they can smell blood in the water. I'm a little skeptical about just how devastating, in political terms, this will be, because I believe more generally in this hyper-caffeinated political coverage with tweets and blogs and 24-hour everything, that the great majority of voters is divorced from this, and is looking at this campaign still. They don't have to vote yet. They know that they got 50 days. I'm not suggesting most people haven't made up their minds, but you know, the idea that every one of these stumbles is fatal. My God, the worst problem that Romney has is the discouragement in the ranks, the number of conservatives who are going to say, oh my God, he's losing. But you know, at least as of now, these numbers suggest what they have been suggesting for months, which is a very close race. And you know, until or unless this kind of press fever or political fever begins to show up in how actual voters or likely voters are going to think, I'm going to withhold my judgment on this. Mm-hmm. I thought for a long time this is going to be, and it's not just me, it's people who actually know stuff, have been telling me on both sides, this is a close election, the country's not happy with where we are, they're not particularly happy with the alternative. So I think people, you know what, I have a motto after this much time covering politics that I say to friends and colleagues is, try the decaf. That's my calm down. There are some of these writers out there, you know, we all know that if you're writing for a living, you do everything you can to avoid it. And now what people do is they start clicking on the poll numbers about 45 times a day. Try the decaf.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess what I find a little unprecedented is it seems like a campaign-ending gaffe a week. I mean, you have the Republican convention and the Clint Eastwood fiasco, then you have his disastrous reaction on the Middle East, you know, what's going on over there, and then this week. It's just, how many more weeks like this can they survive?
Well, again, you know, that depends on, I've been persuaded that the original take on Eastwood was overwrought. I think for a lot of people it was entertaining. People who watch these conventions they're so scripted and so down to the last sentence tight that when somebody comes up and says something a little weird, I originally thought this is, well, you know, it's not appropriate. And a lot of people who are not professional political watchers went, you know, I thought it was okay. Bill Maher, who's no fan of Mitt Romney, actually gave Eastwood some props. But the point is, I just think that until and unless we actually begin to see across the board a real movement, or you begin to see, for instance, here's one clue, if the super PACs begin channeling more of their money into Senate races. I'm talking about the Republican-oriented one. Then you're going to see something real. Try the decaf.
Right. But I do think it's significant. As you say, I think we are such a deeply divided electorate. But the fact that the president's pulling ahead in many swing states, I think, is probably electorally more significant, isn't it?
It is, although, again, if you, you want to take a look at the polls, and what you find is you want something to cheer about, I'll give you this poll. Rasmussen, which tends to lean Republican, has Romney up 3 points in New Hampshire. There are very, Obama's pulling away in Wisconsin, maybe. But is it tight? And, this is the kind of hourly kind of entrail reading that it's going to, that I think some of the people who I read who are real partisans about this, their heads are going to explode if they don't calm down. You know, look, I'm in New York today.
That needs to be your next book. It just needs to be decaf.
Yes.
Try the decaf. That's my motto. No, but and part of the reason that I do books like I do, like this e-book about a Gore presidency, is to remind, I did one whole full-length book last year about three different what-ifs, is because history turns on a dime. Mm-hmm. Small, insignificant appearing events turn out to have huge consequences. In this book, which I'm obviously shamelessly plugging.
That was nicely done.
But the point is, everybody asked me when I did the first book, what about the recount? I don't elect Gore with a recount. He couldn't have won a recount for complicated reasons. What I do is to change history so that Elian Gonzalez's mother lives. There's no Cuban American backlash, which cost Gore 50,000 votes in Florida by some estimates, and he wins without a recount. But my belief is that history often turns not on a dime but on a plugged nickel. So the fate of one person, swept out to sea, could have changed, I believe, would have changed the presidency. And Elian's mother lived, I think Al Gore would have been president.
And, one thing you bring up, which we've obviously talked about before, is, could he have stopped 9/11?
That is a big part of my book. And I did a lot of interviewing for that because it's a serious issue. Talked to Richard Clark, talked to other people. I am sure that he would have been much more engaged than Bush because he'd been there for 8 years as vice president. And the Bush people were still kind of in a Cold War mentality. They'd been gone for 8 years. They didn't really understand Al-Qaeda. But that's not to say that a president's desire penetrates through that bureaucracy. And this is one of those areas where no matter what a president would have said, it's entirely possible, and remember, I'm writing one conceivable outcome, I'm not really writing history, in my scenario, he tries very hard but doesn't stop it. And the political implications of that, I think there would have been much more political backlash had Gore been president, because people would have said, you were there for 8 years. How could this have happened? You were part of the other administration. But that's, look, I tell people when they argue with my history, they read my books and they say, it wouldn't have happened that way.
Yeah.
And I say, look, this ebook costs $1.99. Go write your own book.
There you go.
I'm playing with history here.
Right.
I'm offering one possible outcome, which I think is plausible and I hope entertaining.
Well, and more importantly, Jeff, had Al Gore won, we would not be talking to each other right now on the current television network, which I think is paramount.
That's an interesting point. Somebody suggested, why don't you go on current TV and debate with Al Gore about what kind of presidency he would have had? I'm perfectly willing. I haven't heard from the vice president. we'll see.
We'll put in a good word.
Yeah, right. I talk to him all the time. All right. Jeff, it is an e-book called 43, When Gore Beat Bush, A Political Fable. Fascinating stuff. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
A pleasure. Thank
all right.
You.
There he goes. Jeff Greenfield.
All right.
He's the guy from your TV that does the punditry.
He does.
That guy.
But there was a study done by several papers and showing that by any standard, Chad's nipple jads, whatever.
I didn't want to get sidetracked, but I was going to bring that
up. We had a limited amount of time.
The reason no one knows about that because the findings were reported on September 12th. 2001.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a little
How
bit
convenient.
Overshadowed.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Hi there.
By the way, the Sexy Liberal documentary airing on Current got huge, huge ratings, huge. And it's re-airing tonight.
Is it?
Well, it's technically 3 a.m. Eastern time, so set your DVRs. It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
technically
early.
Tomorrow, but right.
Or late.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Either way.
Yeah.
All right. And then tickets are going very, very fast for Seattle, September 29th. My birthday. Mom's birthday. In less than 2 weeks. Get it. And then the big one, Sexy Liberal Palooza in October.
Fresh from their star-studded performance in Hollywood.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
The year's hottest political show. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is finally coming to the city that never sleeps. New York.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
On October 27th, the eve of Election 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will take the stage at Broadway's world-famous Beacon Theater.
There is nothing like the thrill of doing a live show on Broadway.
Featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler,
Sexy Lady,
and Stephanie Miller. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com or call 866-858-0008. Don't miss your one and only chance to see all the Sexy Liberal Comedy Players live on one stage. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Beacon Theater.
I love New York. You know why? Because it's open all night.
Mm-hmm. By the way, oh, the pictures of me and the Sexy Liberal tour director Roland are up on Sexy Liberal or Sexy Liberal Facebook and Sexy Liberal
Sexy Liberal Facebook and
Stephanie
Miller's.
Right.
Yes. Not the pictures of Roland leaving turds in Ethel Kennedy's toilet.
No. We were in Bobby Kennedy's house and I flushed. Okay, can I just say one thing?
It's a story we told yesterday.
We went on a bike trip and then we frolicked. We stayed at the Kennedy compound. It's a long story. All right. Oh, I forgot to mention one irritating thing about Roland, my soulmate.
One?
Yeah. Well, his general boy disgustingness.
In the flurry, sometimes one will fall to the side.
He does actually sing show tunes all the time, even on the bike trail.
That's really gay.
Right. And then when we're back in the hotel room, he plays them on his computer until I literally...
Sexy lady.
Yeah, lost my... I was like, Roland, stop it!
It's at that point that you really want some gangster rap.
He sent it and smell a reality show.
Yeah.
When I take you out in the Surrey.
He is. It's like being on vacation with Marcus Bachman. It was really.
June is busting out all over.
Okay, I think now I have a migraine problem from my vacation.
Any of those songs.
All right. Annie and Catherine in Wisconsin, however. Oh, this is sweet. What's your secret? Looking at the pictures of you and Roland's bike trip. How are both of you single is my first question. We're both a hot mess. There's that. And the second question, what 50-year-old woman looks like you? What secret potion do you take each day? Not a potion, it's a doctor. Thank you, Dr. Nicole. Okay. No.
I think you went to go see Isabella Rossellini and you drank the potion.
I drank. Now a warning. Now.
Now a warning.
That's what Roland's job is, to spackle me back together.
Yeah.
With spray paint. And,
And Bondo.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we're having a little too much fun with the... There's one Romney surrogate, former Maryland governor, Bob Ehrlich, is trying to defend Mittens.
Oh, yeah. That's adorable.
He explained the inarticulate comments were remarks to a bunch of business people about tax cuts, because these folks care about tax cuts. He went on to say the statements are unimportant to what really matters to people.
Uh-huh.
No, this matters to people.
No, if you're worried about Middle East peace, if you're worried about the job market, if you're worried about having someone in representing you in a representational government... Who actually cares what
about
you?
Yeah.
You're not already a buddy. It kind of matters.
Yeah, I don't care about you people.
Here's the other thing.
Mittens, as usual, doubling down.
This is a message I'm carrying day in and day out, and will carry
over
the coming months, which is this is a decision about the course of America and where we're going to head. And we've seen the president's policies play out over the last 4 years.
We have actually, and the stock market's gone from 6,500 to 13,000.
A lot more people are working now than were.
40 months of uninterrupted job growth.
Mm-hmm.
That magically, by the way, started right around the time the stimulus started.
Yeah,
getting
it's weird.
Spent. Yeah, it's funny that that ineffective stimulus was actually the big turnaround
There was a good piece in the New York Times about that a couple days ago, about how the guy, guess what, the stimulus worked. This in the New York Times today, a mood of gloom afflicts the Romney campaign. A palpably gloomy and openly frustrated mood has begun to creep into Mr. Romney's campaign for president. Well practiced in the art of lurching from public relations crisis to public relations crisis, his team seemed to reach its limit as it digested a ubiquitous set of video clips that showed their boss candidly describing nearly half the country's population as government-dependent victims and saying he would kick the ball down the road on the biggest foreign policy challenge of the past few decades, the Palestinian-Israeli. Grim-faced aides acknowledged that it was an unusually dark moment, made worse by the self-inflicted, seemingly avoidable nature of the wound. By their douchey candidate. Yeah. A flustered advisor describing the mood said the campaign was turning into a vulgar, unprintable phrase. Which one?
There are so many you could choose from.
What do you think he said? What unprintable phrase?
Cluster bleep?
Maybe. Aides did little to hide their annoyance. On Monday night, a Romney aide cursed loudly as he tried to corral reporters into an impromptu news conference.
Gosh darn it all to heck.
Mm-hmm.
Aides inside Mr. Romney's Boston headquarters began highlighting a video of their own, a 1998 clip of President Obama, then a state senator.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Saying he wanted government to facilitate the distribution of wealth. He said, I actually believe in redistribution. Soon, Mr. Romney was on Fox News, his television comfort zone, mocking the video. Really? That's it? You got it from 1998.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he was a state.
That's when he ran squealing over to Neil Cavuto.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
See, we've got the tape that clearly shows that if he gets into office, if this president is elected, the stock market's going to go in the toilet because he doesn't know anything about business. He what? He doubled it?
That is really reaching 1998 when he was a state senator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, one time he...
Yeah, well, in kindergarten once he spilled his chocolate milk all over somebody's shirt.
Yeah. And by the way, when you're a state senator, what you're trying to do, too, is take the funds that the state gets from the federal government and the internal taxes of that state and make sure that the education system, the transportation system, and all the infrastructure elements of your state are even so that you don't have dirt roads in one town and crappy schools with leaky roofs in one town and then super rich schools with super well-paved roads around them because it's supposed to be spread evenly.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that actually is, first of all, that's what the government is for in a lot of ways, is to provide an even playing field for all of its citizenry so that we can compete against other countries.
Yeah.
Not each other.
As a whole.
Right. Yeah. Secondarily, it's amazing to me that most of the red states are the ones that are getting most of this redistribution. Yeah. That every single time, every state that gets more than its fair share of federal dollars and has to jack up through fees and other stuff to pretend they don't pay taxes on state level.
Mediaite. Yeah, there you go. Mediaite.
Kentucky, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. Like, if it's red, we're paying for it. The blue states are paying for it.
Yep. Politico editor, Romney campaign tense, chaotic. I don't know which story I like. Just give anything to be a fly on the wall when you're in the Romney campaign headquarters. We tend to think that Mitt Romney's a very buttoned-down guy, somebody who comes from a corporate background, crisp, well-organized. That may be the case with Romney personally, but not true of his campaign. We see there's a certain amount of chaos that just flies around that campaign. It tends to be last-minute improvisational. That's what we saw with the speech. It also tends to be divided by different factions. That's something that happens pretty frequently if you've got a campaign in trouble. Exactly what you want running the free world. I mean, that isn't that his last case, that he's some kind of great manager?
Right.
The mood within the Romney camp, Harris believes, is very tense. I think there's a lot of mutual suspicion within the campaign of different sides. That's never a winning formula. Yeah, I would give anything to be a fly on the wall, just to hear the white-knuckle panic in the room. Let's go to Eric in Arkansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I love your show. It's
first
time calling. Wow. I just want to say Mitt Romney has degraded the vetting process of ever being a president candidate. I'm going to just say this. Me, personally, I feel that Mitt Romney is personally responsible for inflaming the Muslims. He's a desperate man, and he's not a good manager. I don't care what business, bang, whatever. He's a capitalist vulture.
Exactly. By the way, in the video, he at one point talks about in a kind of wistful remembrance of how Reagan took advantage of the hostage crisis and the two helicopters going down. And he actually says, if a situation presents itself, I'll do everything I can to take advantage of that situation. Fast forward. Yeah. By the way, this video is from months ago.
You mean a situation in which Americans die?
Yeah.
He can somehow
profit
from...
Fast forward to the Libyan situation. Yeah. That's exactly what he did. Uh-huh. And, by the way, poorly. So here's the thing. He says this ahead of time. If this shows up, I'm going to jump on it with both feet and then I'm going to use it to my advantage.
He describes that smirk after the press conference. Like,
craps,
bam, I nailed that.
Yeah, and then he craps on it. Did you see, by the way, his little three-question post... video, interview where he took three questions, and then in the middle of it I almost half expected him to walk over to the door and it not open, Bush style, because he had that look on his face like, I should probably leave now, I run out of things to say.
He had that goofy smile when he was walking away. Okay.
It's like
that was good.
It's like he's got a tank that he runs on full of crap, and it was on E at that point. He's like, I've run out of BS, I've got to go refill.
Okay.
At the little Ryan spigot.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back, more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Our friend Eric Boltner just tweeted that the president's approval rating is up to 56%.
Highest it's been in the AP approval rating poll in 3 years.
Yeah. And Hal Sparks pointing out that I think it's only going to get worse for Romney in the debates. Because you have to understand, he's had time to prepare.
Right.
When he said this thus far.
Yeah, this video came out, and he had about... let's say an hour, when they called this press conference and when they actually could get it together and we could actually step in front of them. And he didn't even bother to comb his hair, but he let Clint Eastwood, let me do your hair for you before you go out there.
We were saying flop sweat problem. Number two, the Obama camp is working on things to fluster him because you were saying he's awful when he's flustered.
Yeah. And all Obama has to do is take more than 12 seconds past his allotted time and Mitt Romney will turn into
It's my turn to speak.
Who believes that as long as he is talking, he is winning, no matter what he is talking about. There's a certain amount of, like, Dickensian, in a Charles Dickens kind of
right.
way.
Yes.
Way of just, if I fill the space,
I thought you meant in the way that he's a... I see.
No, in a Charles Dickens was paid by the word to write in newspapers, and that's how he wrote most of his books. That's why they're very wordy.
Well, you know what it is? I think it's this rich, entitled guy, this CEO that's not used to people giving him lip. He doesn't know how to handle.
You can't talk to me that way.
Yeah.
I own you.
In the Republican primaries, look at who he was debating. If you get flustered debating Rick Perry.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
and mad.
Maple syrup.
Angie in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Angie. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Morning, baby.
And happy early birthday.
Thank you.
What about me? Mine's Tuesday.
Aww.
How old's the baby?
My family is part of the 47% of moochers.
Moocher!
Yay. Yeah. My husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor four years ago, and he can't work due to seizures that have actually broken his bones.
Oh, nice.
We have a small child, and while he needed radiation treatment, I couldn't work. We applied for assistance to help us survive. But according to Mitt Romney, I guess to take personal responsibility of our lives, he should have just denied surgery and treatment and died.
Yeah.
Because on my $213 an hour plus tips, we can afford on our own to pay for surgery and treatment.
Angie, it's interesting. Everybody has picked out the thing they found most offensive that he said, and I think that was it. That none of those people, half the country, take no personal responsibility for their lives?
Right.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, I can't
and
teach
also,
them how to care for their lives. I mean,
and
what a...
also, the disgust in his voice when he says people feel entitled to food and housing whatever.
Yeah.
And this man is supposed to be religious.
Yeah.
What kind of person is this?
Yeah.
And what kind of country will this be for family?
Well, you know what? This video showed you exactly what kind of person this is. That's the problem. And, yeah, by the way, Jennifer in D.C., I was going to bring up this Clint Eastwood thing. Jen, go ahead. Hi, Jen.
Hey, sexy staff.
Hello.
I think that Clint is secretly a sexy liberal.
You think so?
Yeah.
He could be working for us. I mean, we could not be scripting this better, could we?
Well, did you see what he reportedly has said to Extra?
Yeah.
What's that?
That if somebody's dumb enough to ask me to go to a political convention and say something, they're going to have to take what they get.
Exactly.
Clint Eastwood now pretty much calling Mittens dumb.
He called the Republican Party dumb. That's awesome.
And he said he would do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it.
And they might be dumb enough to ask him again. All right, thank you.
Well, he's actually been pretty independent. I mean,
yeah.
When he was mayor.
That's the thing. When you've got such a hard line, you know, you're tacking right in your convention, in your campaign. You know, instead of moving to the center during your Etch-a-Sketch campaign,
right.
You're moving farther to the right. Then you bring out Clint Eastwood, and you bump your own lead-in video. You don't allow your big, you know, the lead-in speech about you to be the primary thing, even in that
situation.
The look
on Ann Romney's face said everything about that moment that we need to know.
But yeah. Then he's pro-marriage equality. He's against the Iraq and Afghanistan war. He's against interventionist wars. And so everything that Paul Ryan
he's
has
got a libertarian streak going through.
Totally.
Yeah.
But which is, by the way, they spent the first 2 days.
I loved
it
when he started talking about Afghanistan, the sort of Scooby-Doo faces.
They spent the first 2 days of that convention telling the Ron Paul supporters to go pound sand for that exact reason, because they don't support the wars and they don't support that kind of methodology. And then they put on Clint Eastwood, who arguably agrees with that group more than Mitt Romney.
Paul and they're a mess. They're a hot mess, the Republican Party. Paul in Boston, Elizabeth Warren country. Woo-hoo! Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. God bless Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, pulling ahead.
I'm a rank-and-file teamster up in Boston, and it's just brutal to see Scott Brown backpedal away from the gluttons of privilege. And he's just, they're bombarding the media with all these, saying that he's an average guy and he grew up with nothing, and that Elizabeth Warren is attacking him. In the meantime, last year he voted against medical extensions on unemployment, you know. And it's tough enough, you know. It's tough enough out there trying to earn a living, and to see a guy like that, you know, play the victim himself, you know.
Yep. Well, good for her. She's how much has she had to latest poll? Do you know?
Well, she's slightly up. Which is good, hopefully.
Yep.
But
yep.
There's a garbage truck going down my street, and there's one guy driving, getting off it, putting the trash in the back, getting back in the truck, and driving. You know, that's working. That's struggling.
What's not great about a teamster from Boston? Not
driving a garbage truck. That's work.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Hal Fox. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. What? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. What? Okay. Mittens. Oh, mittens.
I believe America was built on the principle of government caring for those in need, but getting out of the way and allowing free people to pursue their dreams. Free people pursuing free enterprises is the only way we'll create a strong and growing middle class, and the only way we'll help people out of poverty.
First of all, nobody's in their way. No, the taxes are at the lowest point in 50 years. The regulations that he's complaining about are manufactured ideas from border states and from like red states in around the Gulf who are complaining about the restrictions on oil drilling. This is the big drum about regulations, because all the shrimpers and the people who are fishermen don't want poisoned stuff to sell to the rest of the country, so they complained to the federal government because their state government was doing nothing about it. No one is in the way of free enterprise.
Guess
no
how Fox News is handling the Romney fiasco? They're not. It didn't happen. I love this. I love this story. Fox News teases, then abandons Romney discussion.
Right.
Now, I sometimes tease things I don't do only because I'm old, and I just forget.
Yeah, and you're drunk.
Distracted. And I'm drunk. Yes.
Yeah.
Fox News host Martha McCollum said viewers should expect a discussion about Mitt Romney's leaked video after a commercial break, and then they forgot.
No, nope, you
it
know
got
what?
Disappeared.
Some people say that Martha McCollum likes the drink as well.
Really?
Some people say.
Oh, we don't know that.
Oh.
Look at how the way they even phrase
I report,
this.
You decide.
I love this. There are some new questions this morning about a leaked video of Governor Romney speaking at a private fundraiser.
Huh.
So are the attacks against him fair, or were those comments taken out of
context? Oh, God.
And then we'll talk about it. And then they came back, and they discussed their temporary
look
studio.
Look, a squirrel on a surfboard. Look, isn't he precious?
Look over there.
Look at that. Gold medalists. Are they being taxed too much?
No, a lot of people say when something really bad happens to the Romney camp, they can't wait to watch Fox News.
Yeah.
And that's literally how they handle it.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't happen. It's a non-story.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, so it didn't happen.
No.
Right. Well, it kind of makes, in a Jedi mind trick kind of sense, Fox is arguably pulling an Obi-Wan. Like, in regard to the Romney-Ryan ticket, they're going, these are the droids you're looking for.
Can I say one thing, though? One thing that really gives me pleasure? Rush Limbaugh sounded fairly panicked yesterday.
A little bit. Yeah.
This is a grand opportunity.
This could be awesome.
Discuss conservative principles.
We'll have that audio in Right Wing World.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So excited because it's going to turn out so well.
So
Donald Trump
it's
said Tuesday that Mitt Romney should not apologize for his remarks, adding Romney said what he probably means. Well, that part is true.
That's true.
He means it hugely.
But Donald Trump and the people at Fox are under the impression, and by the way, there's a reason why they're dancing around this 47% thing and defending it so much, is because it draws attention away from all the other amazingly stupid, dangerous, foolish, abstract nonsense stuff that he also said the rest.
Yeah. Matt Lauer asked Trump if Romney actually believed 47% of Americans lack personal responsibility. Trump said he's saying that's not what he really meant. You'd have to ask him about it, but he's saying that's not what he really meant. I'm sure he wished he didn't say it. I'm sure he wished the hidden camera wasn't there. That's the true part.
Yeah.
Right.
He just wishes a camera wasn't there. The rest of it's...
But what about... Nobody seems to be asking these guys, especially Trump and the like, about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Conversation. By the way, everybody felt the same way about the Irish and the English, when Clinton was in office.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This was this had been dogging them for ages. All during Thatcher and Reagan, there was a big fight about this is just going to go on and on and on. It's just a horrible, untenable situation. Regular bombings, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And they managed to work it out.
What kind of somebody that wants to be leader of the free world says... That's too hard.
I'll tell you, somebody who wants to, who looks at being president of the United States as another form of leverage buyout.
Yeah.
I will move in, saddle the country with debt, and move
overseas. Trump also criticized Republicans for not airing the video featuring him firing a Barack Obama impersonator at the convention. He said the video was the RNC's idea and was made by top Hollywood people. It was huge. It would have been huge.
It would have been huge.
Top.
What does it say that they thought the Clint Eastwood thing was better than the
Donald
Trump skit
thing?
That's how bad that had to be. Is there like should we
please
air that?
Leak it? Please put it out. I'm calling huge Hollywood people that apparently huge Hollywood people
hugely
who worked on
top.
It.
Dana
in
Maryland. Hi, Dana. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hi, Al. How you doing?
I'm spectacular, but I'll get better,
good.
As Tom Hartman would say.
A couple of things. I, as a Jewish woman, everything was offensive. I called last week, spoke to John. I think we agreed that Mitt's just morally bankrupt.
Yes.
So I'm not really all that surprised. But as a Jewish woman, the dirty bomb stuff and the kick the ball down the street, I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah, what was that? Was he just like spitballing ideas for Iran?
Yeah, there wasn't much flavor in that room, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, which leads me to my second point. Hannity and Bachman, making fun of Obama last night and how he's on the Letterman show and blowing off Bibi Netanyahu, which of course is BS.
Right.
And then, look who the people met pals around with. Really scary, racist, homophobic people, and they're giving him a hard time about partying with Jay-Z. You know what? If we don't like success, why would he party with Jay-Z? Look at a success story.
Right.
That guy was born in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Yep.
He came from nothing. I mean, he was on his way to being a criminal, and he turned his life around, and he probably has more money than Mittens.
Yeah.
So, I don't really understand why they're getting on his case about fundraising. fundraisers. Because you know, he's at least he's not with a bunch of racist people.
Because the president had a hip-hop barbecue.
He's black.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he's having
well, because they're big, scary black people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Hip-hop money is all gangster.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
And by the way, Jay-Z's gangster lifestyle, where he might pull out a gun and bust a cap. At an inopportune moment is, I think, offensive to the White House and not germane to the kind of running. Meanwhile, yeah.
I think a society based upon a government-centered nation where government plays a larger and larger role, redistributes money, that's the wrong course for America. That will not build a strong America or help people out of poverty. The right course for America is to create growth, create wealth, not to redistribute wealth.
Right, just like Herbert Hoover did.
Yeah, so you want to get rid of the standing army? Is that what you're saying? Because it's a big expenditure.
Experiment.
And by the way,
I think he just thinks the more words he says, the more chance he has, like, mathematically of making this go away.
P.S. In the video, he says that we only spend twice as much as China on our military. We spend six times as much on our military as China does. And he tells this story about how a Chinese sub snuck up against besides one of our battleships when it was off the coast of Japan because it was a super quiet diesel sub. And that's what we got to watch out for.
You can't run diesels underwater.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, he's a maniac.
By the way, speaking of quiet diesels and quiet rooms, Kenny Pick sent us we forgot. This was another episode of Putting on the Mitt. This is him talking to his fellow rich folk in quiet rooms.
If you're rich and out of touch with those poor folks that always seem to get pink slips, putting on the mitt. Come, let's mix where corporate banks pull their tricks in quiet rooms full of, putting on the mitt. A multi-million-dollar politician trying hard to look like a mortician. Magic underpants.
Wow.
Here's mittens again.
This idea that the president has of redistributing. I know there are some people in our country who want to have a government take from some to give to the others. They'd like to be the others that are on the receiving end of that. And feel that a redistribution model makes sense. The president, some years ago, said he favors redistribution. I don't.
Also,
I believe instead the role of government is to help those who need help.
First of all, the president didn't say that. State Senator Barack Obama in 1998 said something that may or may not have been taken out of context. I don't even care. Who cares what he said in 1998 when he was a state senator?
There is no situation where helping those in need is not a form of redistribution. When you operate even in the abstract, he is forced by his church to give 10% of his money. Right. It's not an option every Sunday where he puts a little in the plate. That is mandatory. You get kicked out of the church. So he doesn't believe in this optional free enterprise idea of helping the poor. His church mandates it.
Yep. Sue in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sue.
Hi. I just love you guys.
Yeah.
I got a couple little things, and then I'll hang up. Number one, 4 years ago, Romney promised he had a way to create new jobs and bring jobs from overseas. Why not be a modern-day Robin Hood and use those talents these past 4 years and helped a lot more people. Mm. And trickle down, it does not work. Mm-hmm. When we went on vacation, we had to put it on a credit card when we would go.
That was one of the best lines, wasn't it, of the DNC, Bill Clinton saying we can't afford to double down on trickle down.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I know. And then the other thing, on Yahoo, the African-American Christians are saying, being as Obama wants to let gays have their rights, that they might not even vote this time. He's got broad shoulders, and if God's going to strike anybody, he'll strike him down for saying it. Wow. And let these people go vote, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, particularly when you know what black folk have gone through in this country to be able to vote, the people that have, marched and died for that right. I mean, to tell anybody to stay home, to me, is it's un-American.
It is.
Thank you. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, Mama.
Hey,
Mama, a couple things is, and this is even before the latest fiasco.
Yes.
No, Paul Ryan has now gone and bought $2 million worth of ad time for his own congressional race.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, wow. Think he's
Yeah, he's starting to lose. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it might be called a backup plan.
Yes. Yes.
And one strange thought that hit me, I'm working by myself and everything. Do you know that Obama and Biden and company found out and killed bin Laden where Bush and Cheney kept Cap Stevens off an airplane?
Yeah.
Yes, he did protect us from 70 singers, that's mm-hmm. for sure. Here is Paul Ryan.
We're worried about more and more people becoming net dependent upon the government than upon themselves.
Yes, he echoed Romney's dependency claims. He's claiming safety nets encouraging dependency, blah, blah, blah. Later in the event, Ryan suggested that liberal philosophy considers people to be victims of circumstances beyond their control and argued that the Romney-Ryan administration would not see Americans as some victim. Most of the people, by the way, once again, let's just review, shall we?
Okay.
Most of the people who don't pay federal income tax still pay federal payroll tax, state or local tax, gas tax, excise tax, or benefit from tax credits for the working poor, the elderly, or students, tax credits that have received bipartisan support. Just 7% of the country. 7% of the country is non-elderly and pays no taxes. That's what we're talking about. And most of those people make less than $20,000 a year.
Are working poor. Right.
Yes.
Who have child tax credits and the like to protect themselves so that they can actually... because what's the point of taking money from somebody who makes less than $20,000 that they would use to feed their child and then pumping it through a governmental system and then handing it back to them in the form of a food subsidy?
Yes.
You just don't take the tax from them in the first place and then give them an overage.
By the way, those are obviously some of the hardest working people in the country.
Right.
To call all of those people moochers or victims that take no responsibility for their lives.
The Romney campaign,
when they're working their ass off for $20,000 a year.
Right. And the Romney campaign seems to think that all the newly poor and the newly unemployed directly related to the crash caused by the Bush administration's policies, that somehow they want to stay there. There's this idea that this is a new safety station that literally Paul Ryan believes that if you lost your job and your savings under Bush, you like the idea of staying on the government boot.
And it just kills me that it's someone like Paul Ryan, whose family was wealthy from, you know, government's construction contracts.
Right.
So, A,
building
there was that. And
highways,
B, he used Social Security survivor benefits when his dad died.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like...
Used it to go to college.
Well, that's different. That's completely different.
I like Hal's use of the word government boob.
Yeah, well, I couldn't say the other one.
Government teat?
Teat.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Andy in Hyannis, Massachusetts. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hi.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Okay.
That must get expensive.
Wow.
Your phone bill must be obnoxious.
Right. First of all, I want the Democrats to start approaching the way they present taxes and government issues from a business standpoint. First and foremost, I'm sick and tired of people calling it the government, the government. It's of the people, by the people, for the people. We live in a democracy.
It's
we
us.
Are the government.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Good point.
So
yep.
I think now they should start presenting taxes as an investment, not in the warm and fuzzy, invest in our children, invest in our future, but in the economies of scale. I can't build a road from my house to work on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We do it together because, like an IPO. What what company goes out and does an IPO and hopes they only have one investor? You want millions of investors.
Well, I think
the cost.
Yep, I arguably would say that the opposite is true with the Republicans right now because they've been talking about cashing out of the American system for ages. That's what part of the gold rush is.
Yeah.
Is the idea. Move your money out of the United States. It's a failed enterprise. Democracy was a mistake. We don't want everybody to vote. They've been talking about that since 1980.
Speaking of which, hang on. We have more good voter ID breaking news.
Oh?
Pennsylvania Supreme Court cast doubt on voter ID law. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court cast serious doubt on the state's voter ID law Tuesday, ordering a lower court to rethink its decision upholding the law earlier this year. Justices ordered the lower court to block the law unless Pennsylvania can prove it is currently providing liberal access to photo identification cards and there will be no voter disenfranchisement on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably help if that Republican boob hadn't said it out loud. We're passing this so Mitt Romney can win Pennsylvania. All right.
Which is true, by the way, of all these. I mean, I forget the name.
And Pennsylvania, by the way, swinging back to Obama.
That's right.
The swingiest of swing states.
Well, by a long stretch. Yeah. I mean, it's like a 7-point spread right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rain Man. Okay.
Definitely.
He knows every swing state.
7 points. Yeah. 7.5.
Okay. James in Columbia, Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
How you doing? Good. This is my first time calling. I like your show.
Thank you.
But and I'm part of the 47%.
You
but
mooch.
I think one thing, yes, I do. But I think one thing they're missing on that tape, he also says if they lose the Latino vote, like they did the African-American vote to the Republican Party, there goes the Republican Party and the nation. So what does he mean by saying if you lose the brown people like you do the black people, you lose the nation? So is he saying that, you know, look here, white people, if the black and brown vote, we're going to lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if that means they're going to start moving into positions of power. We already have a black president.
Well,
what happens if other brown people start thinking they can start running things?
Yeah, there was a big piece, I think it was Politico, just talking about how, you know, a lot of people have said this, but Republicans are just bucking the demographics of the country. I mean, I think it was, Haley Barbour actually even said they have got to come up with some practical immigration plan. They can't, I mean, they are not going to be able to, over time, suppress enough votes to keep winning if they so actively pissed off the Hispanic community during the Republican primaries that, you know.
And that comment about, it'd be a lot easier if I were Latino. And my parents are unfortunately white. It's basically,
you know how easy those people have had.
Absolutely. Which is arguably, what were they laughing at? The idea that, people will vote for you if you're just brown. That would give you
like
a lead
Obama.
In the polls. Mm-hmm. Right. They believe that. Or they believe that they were laughing at the fact that someone in their station of life would laugh about being,
you want to grow up like those people.
Sarah in Michigan. Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Well, hello, sexy mama.
Hello. Go ahead.
I'm so mad at that Mary from Chicago.
Road Flair Mary. Yes.
Yeah, what a loser. not only if her son is truly on unemployment, getting that measly $13 a month for food stamps, tell me something. If he's not able to work, how is he, because he's having surgery or needs surgery, how is he getting a check? So is he lying? And Mary, I gotta tell you, is she sitting in her little apartment looking out the window at all the blacks and all the Mexicans? I got news for you. My grandchildren are little Obamas. I love them dearly. They are the most wonderful things of this earth. And I'm part of the 47%.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the problem is there is a group of these folks who believe that they have spent so much time making sure banks don't loan to Latinos and blacks in certain areas that, you know, the famous Clinton Enterprise Zones were actually an attempt to reverse that trend, a guarantee that black people and Latinos will never get out of that thing. And then so now when they see a black person, a Latino person with actual decent car, decent clothes, they think they're living off the government to get
teat.
It. Yeah.
Teat.
Teat.
We've got another, got it in one more time. Teat, teat, teat. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're having a cute t-shirt contest. I think mine's cutest. Come on, a peace symbol with headphones? I got it on vacation. It's better than your pancake.
Dreadless.
Although your smiley face.
Smiley face.
Yeah. I like my pancake shirt.
Yep.
All right. All right. Everybody
some random Zazzle lady in Ohio made that.
Exactly.
It's a hoot.
It's funny.
The kids love pancakes, so we made them. And it felt like, the ironic part, it felt like hotcakes.
Hotcakes.
off the shelf.
Oh, my God.
Or in a stack with syrup on them.
All right.
Which
sexy
is
liberal
how hotcakes sell.
Parks, yeah. Live in studio. By the way, they are re-airing the Sexy Liberal documentary on the current television network at 3 a.m. tonight. Set your
DVRs.
Are they
going to put the cussing back in? Is that how it works?
I don't
know. Air it that late?
Oh, that's right. That we could do, they could do the softcore porn version at 3 a.m., couldn't they? With all the backstage shenanigans. All right.
Coming, bad baby, bad baby. Right. What?
Coming
what?
Up next live.
Wow.
Wow. I don't
Seattle, Washington, are you tired of all the negative campaigning? Well, the answer is coming straight to you. Yes. Shake it off with liberal laughs, courtesy of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. On Saturday, September 29th, the Paramount Theater will welcome John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller live on stage. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Seattle, this is your last chance before the election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
Get it. All right. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Or no, Shano. I'm sorry. Shano. All right. By the way, the Sexy Liberal Tour Director, Roland, and I, our vacation picture and Kennedy Compound pictures are up at Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook.
There's even a Bananagram picture.
So you can, well, Ethel Kennedy kicked our ass at a Bananagram. Yeah.
None of my business. It's a word game. It's like Boggle.
It's like Words sure with is. Friends, but like with the actual pieces, not a...
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's what it is. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's a love letter from Kay in Oxnard. Oh, Kathleen. Steph, many times when I'm listening to while driving to work, I have to pull over to the side of the road until I can control my laughter. For example, when Jim as Elmer Fudd called Sarah Palin's children in for dinner. That was a good one. That's a good one.
I forgot their names.
Twig.
Twig.
Twack.
Quack.
Bwisto.
Bwisto.
Willow.
Willow.
I made Wayne Dale Wasagna.
Our favorite. My sister and I still laugh about Rapture helmets. I say we could have made a fortune on those.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Always so jealous listening to you on Monday morning bantering about the party at your house the previous weekend. This last time I said to myself, self, wouldn't it be fun to be a fly on the wallpaper at a Stephanie Miller party? Yes, wouldn't it?
Computer says yes.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, I received one of my weekly emails from Obama for America about donating money and having my name entered in the drawing for a chance to have a cup of Joe with Joe or be a guest of the First Family or meet the president with Beyonce and Jay-Z or something or other.
Yeah.
I had not, so why doesn't Stephanie fundraise for the president by collecting donations for Obama for America for people who want to be entered to be invited to her next party? Mm-hmm. Who wants to go to Jay-Z's if you can go to my house?
Exactly.
And by the way, I'm sure if I win, Jackie Schechner has nothing on me. I, too, can bring a homemade key lime pie to the party. Kathleen.
Well, then.
Who would like to enter?
Key lime pie.
Or you could be invited to Mitt Romney's house to kick the help.
Yes, exactly.
Put that video camera down.
I just had a flashback.
Let me see your phone. Phone's in the bag.
Waving his junk at people at the pool party last time.
How much?
Jim.
Okay. Oh, Jim did.
He didn't take it out. It was just, you know.
How much you want to bet they're doing phone
like
checks?
It was like a balloon animal, kind of a perverted balloon animal.
Like puppetry of the penis?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It was spectacular. What?
I'm glad I left.
Yeah.
Before that.
That was the best part. That was the best part. Okay.
Sure it was.
Let's dive into the right wing world.
The best part of waking up.
Hey, guess what I saw on vacation,
hey, what?
Hal? Roland's balls. Okay, let's
Wow. Wouldn't be a vacation, right? If
no.
If you didn't.
I'm still recovering. Okay.
Well, didn't he see your cooter?
Yeah.
What?
Well, that
what
was
were you doing
fault.
Showing each other?
I wasn't. I told him every... I would always say, don't look. I'm getting dressed. And he obviously, you know, couldn't resist him.
Wait a minute. You were in...
I was... mine was completely... I walked out of the bathroom and he was laying on the bed in a robe. And I was like, oh!
Wait a minute. You were in Ethel Kennedy's house. There had to have been
no,
another
that was a,
room.
No, that was at a hotel. That was at a hotel where I saw his... All right,
okay.
Let's...
There had to have been another room at Ethel Kennedy's house that you could have gone to.
We were in Bobby's house in the compound. Mm. That's not where I saw her, the aforementioned.
Mm-hmm. Even then, at Bobby's house, there had to have been another room.
I know, but we're like childhood best friends.
Okay.
We want to sleep. the same room.
Oh,
I just didn't. I didn't count on that part.
Boy.
Okay, let's dive into the right wing world. Sean Hannity on the Fox News.
It is Romney unplugged as the GOP presidential nominee delivers one of his sharpest critiques yet of President Obama and the entitlement society that he enables. Now, while conservatives and fiscally conscious Americans are applauding Governor Romney's statements, liberals and the
really?
Mainstream media, they are attempting to spin this into some major gaffe. They're arguing that Mitt Romney is engaging in class warfare and turning his back on voters.
Yes.
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 Mm-hmm. Yes, that was pretty much.
No.
That was the best part of it. For someone that keeps saying the president's engaging in class warfare,
right.
What was that?
Yeah, that was directly class warfare.
I don't care about 47% of the people.
Yeah. That was a strategy session for the next battle of class warfare in the taking of the presidency.
Yeah.
I mean, it was arguably about class terrorism. And Sean Hannity, they're not arguing that point. They're simply stating it. They're just showing what he said. That's not an argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just pointing at a chair and saying that's a chair is not an argument. Talking to it when there's no one in it is.
Fox News can try to spin this as a positive for Romney. There's Bill O'Reilly.
So now we have a controversy over Governor Romney telling supporters that a large portion of the American population is dependent on government and most likely will not vote for him. Here's my question. Why is that controversial? That's true. Now, if you say the federal government should do more social engineering than the Obama administration's currently doing, then you want a nanny state. If you want a nanny state, you're not going to vote for Romney, who's a big self-reliance guy. So again, what on earth is the controversy?
Except for when Romney goes to the government and asks for lots of money.
Or, except when his father was on welfare.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When even the Romney camp is in a white-knuckle panic. You know, I mean, they know it was a problem. I love Fox News. There's nothing more to see here. Move along. Why is this even a controversy?
There's a big self-reliance.
Why are we even talking
about this?
He's a big self-reliance guy. That's why he used federal government money to bail out the Olympics. It's why he used federal government money to offshore the debt of Bain Capital so that they only had to pay 30 cents on the dollar of their debt so they could remain in business because they were going to go bankrupt. And it's why his dad was on welfare and why his running mate's father, after his passed away, his son was able to go to college using Social Security.
Why do you hate America?
Just because he does.
It's the nanny state that these guys have been living off of and building their fortunes. By the way, as bootstrappy as these guys want to say they are, the reason they got where they are is because we have a baseline in the United States that allows you to not slip into the Somalia land that the rest of the world lets you slip into, supposedly.
Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade are continuing. There's nothing more to see here.
When you look at what Mitt Romney just said, politically, what's the matter with it?
I would love for that to be a message for any candidate on the stump. Because if you talk about making tough decisions from here on in, when you talk about entitlements for every $1 in tax money we owe three, we're going to have to make some really tough decisions. And if people in their lives aren't going to do everything they can to understand that we can't afford to pay housing, health care, food, and everything else for people, and for college, it's not physically possible, why can't a leader put that forward?
Well,
wait, first of all, who's asking for food, a house? I mean, what? They talk about
they're talking about food, people on food stamps.
Well, I think they think it's a permanent state. What they're talking about is the Occupy Wall Street movement, where they're talking about housing is a right, food is a right, and they're against. Keep in mind, they're against food like school lunch programs,
which
is the baseline nutrition for most kids growing up in poverty, and it's the way that they actually gain nutrition enough to be able to think.
Yeah. Right.
And do their schoolwork so that they can get out of poverty, so that we don't have generations in poverty.
Thank you.
That was the purpose of the safety net. That's what
Here's
the New Deal is about.
Rush Limbaugh seeing the sunny side of this whole situation.
This is a golden opportunity.
Oh, yes.
It's an opportunity for Romney and the entire conservative establishment, including the conservative media. It is a time to stop pretending that this is a same old standard election and that something's on the line here. It's time to start getting with the program.
Mm.
This is not just the next election. The future of the country, a financial collapse being averted, is what is on the agenda this election.
That's what Obama did.
Yeah, so what he's been doing is actually keeping us from actually capsizing. We were actually in the process of no longer becoming a financially important structure in the world.
Actually, came back in an hour number three, and he was still This is great.
This is awesome.
Really?
The more I think about my own thoughts, the more I agree with them.
Okay.
It's the Rush Limbaugh logic game.
Stuart Varney, Charles Payne on Fox Business.
The Social Security Administration improperly awarded disability to more than 25% of those people who applied for disability payments between 2006 and 2010. What do you know about, Charles? Go on, you've got something to say about that. I know you do.
I've talked about this before.
Yeah, you have.
This is a huge scandal. It's been going on for a while. In some places, they call it the crazy check. 29-year-old man walks in and says, you know, this economy's driving me crazy. I just can't do it. They say, here, you're on Social Security disability. And you've got, we've got an army of these people walking around this country right now.
An army.
Okay, an army. Of people that are mistakenly getting disability.
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, guess what? Yeah, there is Social Security disability fraud going on out there, and the Obama administration specifically went after it in the $716 billion in false payments to providers that were being doled out.
Yeah,
and that gave these guys, the providers, an incentive for faking payments to other people or padding payments to other people. So they made up for that saving. They went, we can save $716 billion in tax dollars over the next decade and put it towards something useful in healthcare, like filling the senior citizen donut hole and providing health care for people in preventative care so that people don't get sick in the first place.
The thing is, we lost a lot more money with Wall Street fraud.
Oh, no question.
Stuart Varney refuses to talk about crap like that.
Absolutely.
As an American, I'm appalled by this socialism.
And we end with prostitute toe-sucker Dick Morris.
If everybody was born into the Democratic Party, you know, your ethnicity or you're a single mother or your blue-collar working union family, and people have to kind of work out of that by thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
And anyone who really is thinking is realizing that Romney is the answer to the economy.
So blue collar working families are not thinking.
No.
That's if they
You're
did.
Unthinking victims.
If they were thinking, they would have thought their way out of this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Secondly, does he sound like he's sucking toes while he's talking?
He always does that.
I've got a toenail stuck in my throat.
He's a man winded by a run-on sentence, as we have frequently pointed out.
All right. Color people. I
have to say, I really enjoy the sound of these people trying to convince themselves to be behind Mitt Romney.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Julian Seattle sends us interweb fun at Mitt's expense. You know the Romney Believe in America sign?
Uh-huh.
Someone just put Believe in half of America. Insulted today, Great Britain, the Palestinians, Russia, China, half the USA, our intelligence. Oh, text from Hillary. Any advice? Drink.
No.
Okay. Oh, a Clint Eastwood poster has a debate with imaginary Obama, loses. this one with just an average guy holding a... Hi, Romney. Hey, Romney, I'm part of the 47% that will never vote for you, but I work hard. I take no handouts. I pay taxes. I do so at a much higher rate than you do, and my dog rides inside the car. You're a jackass, Brad. Hey, Mitt, you know that huge lead Obama has? You built that. Oh, and then Romney and Ryan saying, God bless half of America. There we go.
Yay.
Yay. The interwebs. Making sport.
Well, sport. He's in sport.
Yes.
This is, by the way, indicative of a problem that Mitt Romney had going back as far as, I guess, the primaries 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Was that he was kind of...
He was still Mitt then.
Yeah. He still had these kind... He had his detractors. He came in second even in his best showings. And in his worst showings, he was off the charts They have the same problems with him now that they had then. They just have gotten to this, okay, well, we'll buck up behind
him. Peggy Noonan just...
Right.
Yeah, she said it's time to admit that the Romney campaign is incompetent.
And by the way, if you want to use the same standard that Mitt Romney used for the Cairo embassy, is that anything the Cairo embassy says counts as a statement from the Obama administration, then any single failure of the Romney administration and any surrogate he has... is speaking on his behalf.
By the way, speaking of his surrogates, you know when Chris Christie lowers the boom on you, it's he made a point of saying, I'm governor of all of New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
And also, by the way, speaking of Governor Christie Kreme, the Standard & Poor has lowered its outlook for New Jersey from stable to negative, the latest in the series of bad financial news for the Christie administration. Mm-hmm. A analyst said, Chris Christie's comeback narrative and his optimistic revenue numbers are fictions used to justify yet more tax breaks the state can't afford. Christie's cuts-only approach has failed to stimulate the economy or bring the budget back into balance.
Hmm. Oh. But they have stimulated his appetite.
His desk littered with empty Dorito bags, Little Debbie wrappers. Tears.
Big Debbie rappers.
Yeah, he's the kind that would eat Little Debbie over Hostess.
You think?
I think so.
Okay. I don't want any Little Debbies. Just make one Big Debbie.
David in Oklahoma. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
If, for the last week or so, every time Mitt Romney opens his mouth, he steps into crap up to his knee.
Yeah.
How come Obama is not 10, 15 points ahead in the polls? I don't understand that.
He is.
He's starting. He's starting to. He is starting to pull ahead.
He's been ahead all along. Rasmussen softens these things with the questions that they ask. They've always leaned Republican, in the lead up.
Are you for the Muslim or?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then, but if you look at every single group. Specifically, with the exception of white working class voters, which the male white working class voters, where he's actually got a 3-point lead.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, he's got a 12 to 15 point lead. In all these swing states, he's beating Romney with women in each of the swing states at a higher rate than he is with.
Right. Today, his approval rating is the highest that it's been in.
It's at 56%, the highest it's been in 3 years in the AP poll.
Yeah. No, and by the way, this just happened. So I think, the polling that's starting, he's already been pulling away.
Polling tends to be trickle down, as it were, anyways.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, the Democratic convention gave the president not just a huge, but a sustained bounce.
Yes.
It's not something that's. Mm-hmm. They keep saying, it's dissipating. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's
improving. Shocking.
It's actually growing.
What was that graph you're showing me?
They actually did a graph of the predictability of the race itself. It is now at its farthest point apart that it's ever been with Obama on an upward arc and Romney on a downward arc in the most profound sense that they've ever been. Like the shocking.
What is it, Nate Silver? It's 75% chance of winning to Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the thing people keep saying, don't get complacent, vote, because that's what.
Well, that's what they're counting on.
You don't want on either side. You to go, he's got it in the bag now. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
One of the reasons, though, why Nate Silver comes up with those numbers is because the Obama administration and the Obama campaign has a 3-1 ground game where Romney is spending a lot of money on ads and whatnot. They'll have one office to six offices in a state that Obama has.
Yeah.
And because they just don't care about that part of it, they think.
And it's kind of hilarious that they use that big debt clock as a prop.
Yeah.
And the Romney campaign is in debt.
$15 million they still owe. By the way,
he's such a great money manager. He's such a great businessman, as you know.
Uh-huh. Well, why should he run his campaign any different than he run a lot of these companies? Saddle it with debt and then. Uh-huh. And then lose.
Yeah, and he'll still come out on top. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back. Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This dessert menu is funnier than...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, but funnier than the cocktail napkins.
They're blanks.
Yes, but there are two K sounds in cocktail.
Yes, there are.
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 34 minutes after the hour. It's time when I need some estrogen in the Ford. It's so many boys. Ooh, ooh, ooh,
Jackie Chews. Mm-hmm. Guns on crew.
missing earlier. We need some extra Jackie in the fourth. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi. I don't know if you heard this last caller. What's your sense on the polling? They're saying, how could this even be close and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, all the latest polling that's coming out is certainly reflecting what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the polls are obviously shifting in the president's favor. But I don't know. I'm so tired of polls at this point. I mean, I do wonder the validity of polls in general, just who they're polling, who they're reaching. I don't know. I mean,
what they consider a likely voter versus.
Yeah, exactly. How they define them. I mean, I've just always been very skeptical, and I do feel like the general sense is that the president has a much larger lead than what the polls are generating, and because there's some polls that lean left and some lean right, and it's just too hard to tell.
Well, speaking of L words, I keep seeing the landslide word, which I could be getting ahead of myself, but
we want to be careful too, right? Because you don't want people to get complacent,
right?
That's right.
And since there's a little bit of an enthusiasm gap from 4 years ago, you don't want those people to say, "Well, he's got an advantage and I don't really need to vote and I'm not a huge fan right now." So we have to make sure that everybody, if you're not a huge fan of the president at the moment, you have to be scared enough of Mitt Romney to at least get out and vote.
Yep, exactly.
you don't have to be thrilled with him. That's okay. I understand some people have a little bit of skepticism, but at the very least, it's so much better than the alternative.
And think how many days he has left to say stupid things. I mean, that's the...
Just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worse.
It does. And, you know, Hal made a good point about, I can't wait for the debates, can you? Because this is Romney with time to prepare. You know, the debate, you know, Obama's going to be right in his face. I mean, goading him, right?
Although I do wonder a little bit. So you know how when you play tennis and you play against somebody who's less skilled than you are and you tend to play down? I mean, it works with any sport, but that's the sport where I've experienced that.
Uh-huh. Really? We didn't know that about you, Majorette Jackie Schechner.
Yeah, that's a new one.
You don't play as well as you normally would when you're playing with somebody who may not be at the same level.
Right.
Any sport, whatever. True. Anyway, but I worry about that. Like it happened with Joe Biden when he debated Sarah Palin, that he had to kind of just take whatever she was dishing out, and he couldn't stretch the extent of his knowledge.
Right. And because she didn't throw up on herself, she actually came out looking good.
Right.
Right. The reviews were great, but she didn't entirely
that was
melt
also,
down.
Right. It was also a vice presidential debate as opposed to the presidential debate, and there's a little bit more of the kid gloves are off in the presidential one in that regard.
It was that George Bush bar. Like, you know, people would go, well, we didn't have to put a pencil on his tongue. I mean, I guess he...
Yeah.
I don't know, he didn't fall off the stage. I guess it was... It's okay.
Yeah, the difference will be is I actually think that it's not Obama that is Mitt Romney's worst nightmare in this. It's whoever moderates and any questions that are presented by the public. Because, quite frankly, he just doesn't handle those well. And his biggest wins seem to come from when he would argue for more time in the primaries.
I hope he gets ruffled and all those gray hairs spring up on their own like they did the other night.
Chicken feathers.
How did they miss that? Really, like at the very least, make sure his hair isn't sticking up.
That's what I said. When Ripon on his hair has quit the campaign, it's dire. All right, Jackie Schechner, take off your news hat and put on your healthcare geek hat, please. This is kind of exciting, and another big thing about the outcome of this election in terms of health care. Vermont could be first in line for single payer. How about that? Ooh. Governor Peter Shumlin, Vermont's the only state to have set itself on a path to single payer using the national health care law as a jumping off point. He believed even small states must aim big. He said it's a mistake for our public policymakers to think we can nibble around the broken system. Whereas if, Romney gets in, we're all screwed, right?
Well, I'd love for it to serve as a model for the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. Let's get something in place that works and try it out in Vermont. And if it works and it controls costs and people are covered and have access to quality care, then let's do
like
it.
A bad rat.
Yeah, and it's going to be, and Vermont's going to be awfully crowded because it's very small. We're all going to move there.
And by the way, in Massachusetts and Washington State and all the other states that are giving that a try, including California is even talking about it, that actually, with those being available on the exchanges, we'd actually be able to find a better system than creating a federal one that may have limitations and have to take a lot of congressional work to change if it doesn't work.
And, Jackie, he has some, I like guys that are bold like this. He said it's the right thing to do. The rest of the world has figured it out. Let's grow up and join them. He argues his vision is pragmatic as it is progressive. The efficiency of a one-payer system will slow healthcare spending, he says, freeing up dollars for jobs and economic growth. I mean,
If you pay close attention, it's not hard to figure out why the costs are out of control. I mean, the problem is people don't want to dig into the details, and I'm one of the few people who really enjoys this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, too. you were nearly on an iron lung with pneumonia, and you answered a right-wing email of mine, like, point for point. I was, like, in red. Like, she knows how to do the thing. Like, here are the rebuttals.
She knows how to change the font color?
Right?
Wow!
And she was nearly delusional. All right, now take off your healthcare geek hat and put on your girl hat.
Okay.
Newsweek claims Arnold Schwarzenegger boasted that he didn't need Maria Shriver, and he was getting himself a 20-year-old honey. Worse still, he threw Maria out of their house and refused to attend marriage counseling. He reportedly even warned her, "I have the money, the power, the plane, and I will have the friends."
Oh.
Bastard person.
He sounds like a real catch. Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, and he was the one banging the housekeeper and getting her pregnant. Oh.
She's so much better off if that's the way he feels.
Yeah. I just, you know.
That's gross.
I'm a big Maria fan. That's all I'm saying.
Kennedy fan.
Yeah. Well, I ran into her at CNN, and she's just, she's awesome.
Yep.
And he's a douche. All right.
What does it do anybody good to say those sorts of things in public either? You know, I mean, it's like, you're married to somebody for so long, you have a family together. Why can't you just be respectful?
Have some class.
Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because you are in the late stages of your hot years, and you're over the hill in that regard, and you still have to achieve your machismo by public display. This is a guy who was a weightlifter and showed off his body in a tiny little Speedo for a living. This was a choice he made in life. Then he went on to do movies where he didn't wear a shirt for a good long while. And as you get older, it's harder to argue that all your parts still work if you can't show them to everybody.
Yeah, a couple of those vacation
without frightening
pictures.
The neighbors. Right.
Yikes.
So you're going to start talking about that stuff because the verbal fight is there where the physical one no longer exists.
Ah.
It's a psychological effect.
Hey, that's a really good insight into the male psyche.
Sounds like you thought
Thank
about
you,
that.
Hal.
I have, actually. That's why, you know, I can shirt on or off. I'm very comfortable.
Well, Jackie, you know, I'm just recently traumatized from having seen Roll's balls. So I'm just, you know, I'm in a sort of anti-male frenzy
I've
these days.
I've heard a lot about this.
Yeah.
This is obviously
too much, actually.
Very traumatic for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well,
imagine how it is for the rest of us. We weren't even there.
It's been quite some time. I saw them even voluntarily.
I've been hearing this for days.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
Oh, we all have.
Coming up over and over.
Great. Yeah, it's nice to have flashbacks to things you weren't even there for. I've got, how did I get PTSD from Steph's vacation?
In this segment, more on Roland's balls.
PTBD, post-traumatic balls, stress, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. All right. Jackie,
don't
thanks
try to
for
work it
bringing
in.
The estrogen. Love
you. Yeah.
I love you
You're
guys,
awesome.
Too.
All right.
Yay, Jackie.
Bye. There she goes.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill in Arlington, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you doing
Good.
There?
Go ahead.
I'm just retired last month, so I guess that makes
Congrats.
Me officially a moocher now.
Moocher,
there you go.
47%er.
Living off government dependency, your government check.
Right.
That's what you're waiting for.
I was wondering what you thought would happen to a Democrat if he gave a speech containing detailed instructions to Iran on how to commit terrorism against the U.S.
Right.
I think they'd be eviscerated by the right-wing press.
And just coincidentally, in the president's hometown. I'm sure that he just picked any city. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Chicago was just random.
Yeah. I mean, what would Rush have to say about that?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, you know, we were just talking about you can turn any of those situations around, and Fox News would be 24/7, as you were saying, if somebody, as you said, he took time to protest for the Vietnam War before he skedaddled to a castle in France.
Here's a 47% number for you as far as percentage of voters. 47% of small business owners support the president, support President Obama, versus 39% who support Mitt Romney. Now, a good portion of that, I'm sure you could shake out as being the successful ones feel good about Obama, and the ones that haven't been successful somehow blame him for their lack of success. And it's interesting to me, if you notice that this big fight, Ryan comes out and says, if you are successful, you did it all on your own.
Yes.
If you're
much like his company, his family's company that did it well with government contracts.
When he's talking, he's talking to Republicans, if you're a successful Republican, you did it on your own. If you're an unsuccessful Republican, it's because the government is holding you back, and it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm. That was, by the way, one of the hard to see beyond the Clint Eastwood debacle at the Republican convention. But that was one of the biggest boners the entire convention. All those people they showcased as small business owners that built it. They built it themselves. They all had government
contracts
or subsidies at some
absolutely.
Point. They didn't even fact-check those people.
No.
I mean,
even his NASCAR buddies and his friends who own sports teams, all done with, you know, tax advantages given to them that don't necessarily, by the way, pay back into the community. Yeah. They don't equal the investment that the community puts into them.
Yep. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious?
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, who will be with me in Seattle September 29th, along with John Fugelsang for the Sexy Liberal, almost sold out in Seattle, next one coming up, and then Hal will be there this very weekend.
In San Francisco, City by the Bay. At Yoshi's Jazz Club, because I'm very classy. Doing stand up. Oh, yes. Very very schmancy.
A little scat singing? Along with your cat.
Well, not singing, just the scat, the jokes. I'll be there. Two shows Saturday night, one night only at Yoshi's this Saturday night.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I'm back down. And then we're in Seattle the following week.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. For Mama's Big Birthday Show, September 29th, Seattle. Almost gone. Tickets.
And Hal's
birthday is Tuesday.
Mine's Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Hal. My little Libra fan.
And it's also my mom's birthday, same day as mine.
Oh, my God.
And my dad's birthday is 2 days later.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday, Sparks's.
Family birthday.
Hate letter for you, Jim. Stephanie, we love your voice guy, but his dismissal of Quiet Diesel subs is inappropriate. Okay.
Well, no.
Dan says that. Dan says you're wrong.
They run on batteries when they're underwater.
Right.
They
Everyone knows that.
The diesels.
Mm-hmm.
You run the diesels on the surface.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Germans have all electric boats, which they are selling to the Israelis.
All right, now back to Roland's Falls.
They're super quiet.
Why do we need to talk about Roland's Falls?
Because a Florida man has a lot going on in his pants. In a related story.
Really? Is news in Florida.
I used to have a lot going on in my pants back when I lived in Minnesota.
Deputies say Byron Harvey.
Please and thank you.
He had almost $450 worth of shoes, clothes, and other items stuffed in his trousers.
Why?
Additionally, in his pants pocket were a half dozen pills, which he said belonged to his girlfriend, who had been wearing his pants. That is a lot going on in your pants.
Okay, then.
$450 pairs of
story
shoes.
Ever.
I don't know that I have that much free space in my pants. And
I don't either.
Just
I know
because
what you're
they're
saying.
Tight. Hello.
Mary in Tennessee.
Good night.
Hi, Mayor. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi.
Welcome.
Love you guys.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a moment to think about the worst mooches of all. The Republican Congress that refuses to work but lives off the public boob.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Boob. That's the word of the day. The public boob.
Public boob.
Yeah. You think the taxpayers should not just pay for food and shelter, they should pay for their private planes and Cadillac health insurance and personal security.
All right, time to go attend to your screaming toddler now.
Yes.
Thanks for calling. Love you. All right.
She can do two things at once. She's capable.
You have a baby, but it's almost time when he gets to be a toddler to do stupid stuff with him and put it on Facebook.
No, won't happen.
Parents say we weren't thinking when we let our toddler drive on a rainy road.
Really?
On a rainy road.
So what part was the unthinking part?
A couple in North Carolina let their 2-year-old son take the wheel of their Chevrolet on a rainy road and then filmed it and put it on Facebook. They said they said they weren't thinking. That's what the mom
apparently
said. They were not thinking.
Were they drinking instead?
Word on whether there was alcohol involved. They just thought it would be cute.
Usually alcohol is involved.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
In
it's
which
not
case,
cute.
That's a solving a problem letting the toddler that's... drive if they're drunk.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The only sober one there, why not?
Well, if Toons is the cat isn't available.
That would be my solution. Marty, which is why.
That would be the only reason you would have children.
Marty in South Carolina designated
pets
drivers.
Aren't kids.
Marty in South Carolina. Hi, Marty.
Hi. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something about Smut Runny and Bain Capital.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are not vultures. Vultures are actually good for the environment.
Right.
Bain Capital takes something that is alive.
Right.
And they suck the blood out.
Yep.
They're vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they're just not good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just wanted to say something it's to the cop.
It is an insult to vultures to call them vulture capitalists.
Thank you.
Good point.
Hey, the stunning Steve King, Jim, has said something else stunning.
Oh.
Oh.
Republican What's... Steve King declared in a debate Monday night that President Obama doesn't believe in families.
But he has one. And only one.
He said, we have a commander-in-chief who disrespects this Constitution, doesn't believe in free enterprise, doesn't believe in life and families.
What the hell?
He's a baby-killing, married gay man who is Muslim and wants to regulate the economy out of existence. These are their talking points in one little nutshell, and that's good because his head is a nutshell.
Yes. Michelle
inside, it's nuts.
Michelle lives in Beaverton.
Hey,
hello, Michelle in Beaverton, Oregon.
Hello, first time caller, lifelong moocher.
Thank you.
Hello, Moochie.
Yes.
Hello, lazy person who works.
I have done an unimportant job, like teaching children in daycare settings and nannying and stuff all my life. So I make, $20,000 gross.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to point out
that
across
right.
America, yeah, across America, most of the jobs pay this wage now. Your 7-Elevens, your hotel, hospitality, all of these people. And we all make this kind of wage. Mm-hmm.
He makes it sound like you want to. Like everybody wants to earn $20,000 a year so they don't have to pay taxes.
And let me tell you, I don't even qualify for any moochie stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any moochie stuff. I just live on that.
Yeah.
And, he owned a child care, and he doesn't pay us a livable wage. And none of his friends pay us a livable wage on the very same businesses that they profit on.
Yeah.
Well,
and
Paul
they
Ryan,
seem
yeah.
to forget that us 47% are the foundation under their businesses. What if we just stay home? What if us 47% just stop working?
Yeah, exactly.
Where are their businesses going to be?
Well, we'll just go get Chinese slave laborers, as he so
Paul Ryan,
pointed out in his...
Paul Ryan and his ilk are under the impression that if you raise the minimum wage, that people will maintain a minimum wage lifestyle, that as we raise the money for crappy jobs, you'll just stay in your crappy station.
You will cling to your crappy job.
Yeah, you will cling to it and never want to move past it. It is only starvation, concern about rent, food, medicine, health care, and all those things. Those are the only things that drive you to betterment. There is nothing in the human spirit that just says plainly, I may not make more money doing this, but I think it's worth doing. That doesn't exist as far as they're concerned.
Mary in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor. Hello.
Mary.
Oh, Mary. Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steph Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
We love you guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I'm proud part of the 47%, but I there's three things I'm dependent upon. First and foremost, my wife, the Stephanie Miller Show, and bourbon. Those are the three.
Three very excellent choices, may I just say.
I'm a bourbon guy, but I think something my father said before he left this earth keeps echoing back to me is the Republicans kind of generalize to marginalize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they put people in little... small, and they all want to believe that we're this or that, and we're all individuals, and we all have ideas, and we're all very creative, because if we weren't, that woman couldn't live off of 20 grand a year if she wasn't creative.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating to me how insulting these people are.
Well, exactly, to suggest that people that make $20,000 a year don't work hard. You know, you try it for a day, Mittens. Sandra in Orlando, we end on a catty note. Sandra in Orlando, welcome.
I don't know if you folks realize this, but Mitt Romney colors his hair.
Right.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
And you can see the regrowth on his forehead. He's all gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And he obviously didn't have time to do touch-ups before that emergency late-night press conference.
Right. They have that little comb thing you can
use. Oh, with the horror, his hair.
Just for men.
Right. To the Walgreens.
Touch of gray. Yes.
Head down to Walgreens, Mitt. Your right. color's fading.
All right. That's
Your
it.
Reed Richards is poking through.
That's it for us. House Sparks.
I'll be Yoshi's on Saturday.
San Francisco this Yoshi. Weekend. And then with Mama next Saturday, the September 29th show, Mama's birthday in Seattle. Happy birthday, Hal.
Thanks.
Love you.
See you after my... I'll be 43 next time.
Oh, my God. Me too. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.